Hello. Hola. Buenos días. Just let me change my glasses. If we compare the cross with something understandable, it could be compared with this, wearing this pair of glasses. We are scandalous, notorious, and ugly glasses. Yes, our reaction is like that. We make fun, we laugh, and the person who is wearing it is a little shame. But it was the hostility that Jesus carried on the cross. Because it was a humiliation. It was a moment of pain. In Hebrew 12, verse 2, it's found that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So, and we are called to carry this cross. So, but why do we need to fix our eyes on the Jesus of the cross? In the passage read before, it's a combination of passages. I try to combine all the gospel, the three synoptics in John, that is focused on the madness of the cross, the violent act of the cross. Because in this story, this narrative, we found not only the words of Jesus, but also the words of men. But first, I will start on evaluating the words of men around the cross. What we can see in these words? In what way that cross challenged our entire life? I found four ways on how the cross is a stumbling stone. Is rare. There is a word that means that it's uncommon. It's a word that means that it's weird. But the cross is a stumbling stone to us because it challenges rationally, aesthetically, relationally, and existentially. First, the cross addresses directly our thinking and intellect. The way that we see God, our theological interpretations. When we talk about theology, we know that it comes from faith, seeking understanding. I learned that here, and I'm very glad because I came from a background, a secular background, where everything is questioned. That's why for me it was not really hard to, well, see many different point of view about theology. And I know that some of you had struggled with that. But it's true. At the cross, we see a different aspect of God, a different image of God, in the sense that, yeah, we have doctrines, we have a theology, we have a specific interpretation of the scripture. And these are also the same challenge that faced people who were in the crucifixion. In Luke chapter 23, we found that people start to say, Jesus, oh, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. People had a different view about the Messiah. They thought that the Messiah came to liberate them, maybe to take arms. Actually, today in my class in the morning, we were talking about that. It was like a movement of people that were trying to also to Jesus to lead him to take arms and liberate Israel from the Romans. But in the cross, we don't find this kind of Messiah that they were thinking of. I come from a background where God was presented in this way. A God with a sword. A God that imposed a violent religion. Don't you think that we need to think about God in a different way sometimes? To change all our theological interpretations and to look at the cross and see God in a different way? They were expecting a different kind of Messiah. Yeah, they were aware about that he saved other people. And because we have the tendency to distort the image of God, we have the tendency to distort our notions about theology. Nevertheless, in this brutal humiliation of Jesus, the redeeming purpose of God comes to expression. Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 and 26 says that, well, for the Jews, the preaching of Christ crucified was a stumbling block for the Gentile. For the Gentile was foolishness. We can see another challenge here intellectually, because for the world to believe in a Messiah who died on a cross is foolishness. This is a picture of how on that time they were making fun of Jesus. A Messiah who he proclaimed that he was the Son of God, but he was dying in the most humiliated way of dying at that time. But this changed our understanding of God, our rationality, our theology, our logic about power. Because even for the Gentiles to see a king who proclaimed be the king, seeing him in this humiliation was impossible. Even Caesar was considered a god on that time. But Jesus was challenging this presupposition about who is God. It's a Messiah who showed a different face or an unexpected aspect for the Jew perspective and for the Gentile perspective. And this different aspect of God leads us to a second stumbling stone or challenge of the cross. Aesthetically, Messiah in the Old Testament, chapter 53, verse 2-3, we find that Christ was not beautiful. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance was that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. I want to focus on this word about beauty. When we talk about aesthetics, it's all that concerns about what is beautiful. And it is related to art. And art is found in our worship. Songs, painting, pictures, that throughout the history of the church, we were representing God. How is our worship today? I like many songs, now especially in English and Spanish, and I found, an overemphasis of I instead of we. What about thinking about things that are not really beautiful for us today, like war, poverty, injustice? We tend to focus just on God who is on heaven, but what about God who is on earth? What about worship, where we pretend to sound really loud, or we want huge expression of power? At the cross, we find that these words are common for us also. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. is you are the son of God, perhaps also carries a sinister echo of Satan proving his worth of the temptation of Jesus. Yeah, we want big demonstrations. But remember that God is also present through a gentle whisper and sometimes silent. In the cross, we find a different view about what is beautiful. And I'm thinking about those people who are left behind. Because they are not attractive for our current system. Worship is participation. Worship is communion. And this leads us to our third challenge. Relations. At the cross, it's a stumbling stone in the way we build relationships. In the sense that, in the words of men, at the cross, we encounter unexpected people who did recognize Jesus as a righteous man and as the Son of God, who were with Jesus during his crucifixion. The robbers, the Roman soldier, and the woman. The robber was among the suffering as Jesus. But at that moment, he realized that this righteous man was suffering innocently. The only passage that describes this conversation between the robbers and Jesus is Luke 23, verse 40-42. And one of them said to the other, because he was mocking of Jesus, and he said, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Says you are under the same sentence. But this man has done nothing wrong." Scholar said that this maybe is the core episode of this passage. The type of person Christ comes to save. His reaction is in sharp contrast to that of the people. I was thinking the reaction from those who suffer justly or unjustly. This is an image from Ayacucho. It's the place where more people was killed because of the internal strife. More than 60,000 people was killed, most of them indigenous people, indigenous communities. And sociologists said that why they worship this Christ carrying the cross, because in some sense people see the same suffering that they have in their life. A Christ who is suffering. And I see the expression of many people who suffer today and then can show us a different kind of faith. In these passages, the Gospels, we find that the only person who recognized Christ as the Son of God was a Gentile. He affirmed that Christ indeed was a righteous man, the Son of God. Interesting is that in Mark 15, verse 39, he's the only human character that used the title of Son of God in the book. In contrast with the mockery of the others, he prefigures the proclamation of the gospel to all nations, resulting in many Gentiles. A hidden Roman soldier recognized Jesus as Son of God. Christ, mocked by the Jews, is restored to his proper place by a Roman soldier, by a Gentile, an oppressor. in a context of oppression. Also, the oppressors have part in God's kingdom, in the sense that is they recognize Jesus as the Son of God, and they came with a humble heart. They are also part of God's kingdom. God calls us to embrace and love those who are our enemies and those who persecute us. And finally, we found the woman. The Synoptic Gospel mentioned the woman altogether, because many women were from the beginning of the crucifixion with Jesus. Is there an obvious contrast between the disciples? John mentioned about the loved disciple there, but the Synoptics mentioned just the woman. Women exhibit the courage and devotion that one would have expected from the apostles. Mark inverts the stereotype of woman and shows a more positive role of women in early Christian communities. In this case, in societies where women are less behind in leadership or are killed for being considered less than men, this is a picture of one of the communities I work. And many women are left behind because they have a different type of skin, a different language, not the official. But in the Bible, we find a different view about women. And I think we need to change that in our societies and even in our churches. Because that cross reminds us that these are the respected people who show courage in this time of struggle. The cross confronts us in changing the way that we see our relationships with others and how we see those who suffer, those who are apparently weak, and those who are strange to us. It's easy to relay or build friendship with those who are the same like us. If you are quiet, you go with people who is quiet. If you are noisy, you go with people who is noisy. But here we see a different perspective about how we build our relationships. God embraces everyone, those who are apparently different and rejected by our society. And now we come to the words of Jesus, because this is also a challenge to our existence. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." As we saw in the beginning of fixing our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross, we are invited to follow the same path. Existentialism said that the problem that humanity faces is death. To the contrary, the cross is an invitation to address this problem directly. It is an invitation to die. I remember the words of Bonhoeffer, the German theologian. When Christ calls man, he bids him to come and die. But through death, life has a new meaning. It is the beginning of life. It is the beginning of growing. It is immortality. our entrance to eternity. In words of Oscar Romero, a Catholic priest from Latin America, he said that in only one violence the church believed, only one violence, that of Christ who was nailed to the cross, taking upon himself all the violence of hatred and misunderstanding, so that we humans might forgive one another, love one another, and feel ourselves brothers and sisters. Because in all this process of humiliation, Jesus was bringing reconciliation. And we can see that in the words of Jesus on the cross. Because while we were crucifying him, Christ was reconciling. While we were crucifying him, he was telling us, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. These words were addressed to the soldiers, and they were ignorant who Jesus was. Maybe the Jews had the background to understand the Messiah, but they didn't. Jesus was aware of that. But he said, forgive them, Lord. What about of forgiving also the ignorance of others and our own ignorance? When we are in theological discussions, modes of interpreting the Bible. My God, why have you forsaken me? It shows a genuine suffering and shame. A real abandonment by his father. Jesus also was engaging humanity through this feel of abandon. In these words, we don't find Jesus calling God Father. But even though he was accepting his will, while we were crucifying him, he was bringing consolation to his mother. Many mothers now that, until now, they don't find the bodies of their sons, their children. Woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. His love for his mother. To be careful within the circle of faith, community. While we were crucifying him, he said, I'm thirsty. He was bonding with us in our humanity, feeling those moments when physically we cannot anymore. While we were crucifying him, he responded to the robber, truly I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. He was bringing assurance and acceptance. The messianic salvation. When he was dying, he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In that moment of death, he was showing us trusting on God. And in his death, when he cry in a loud voice, Tetelestai. That is the Greek that means it is finished. He was bringing reconciliation with God. What we can learn from the cross? When we are confronted to the cross, we set aside what things that don't allow us to be reconciled with God and our neighbors, even to ourselves. We have redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. As well as says, is God invite us to his initiative of love, where we are convinced of God's love. Fixing our eyes on Jesus means to set aside our rational bias, theological bias, intellectual bias. I can take a step further, even our doctrines, theological interpretations. To question our worship, to set aside prejudices about people, to renounce to ourselves and take the cross. In setting aside all these things and questioning us, we can embrace them in a different way, the way of love, God's love. For me, this is like a dance in between the lion and the lamb, a violent dance where there is blood, but through which love and faithfulness make together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. On looking at the scandalous and fixing our eyes on him, we are reconciled with God and to each other. Through the cross, we can be partakers at the same table where we share his body and his blood. And all together can we cry confidently, Abba, Father, we are children of God. Amen.